City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
This week on City Counselling, Oscar Perez spoke to Councillor Richard Hills in what has been a busy last few months in enacting the emergency budget. Oscar asked Hills to bring us up to speed with what has occurred in the last month or thereabouts for the Environment and Climate Change Committee.
For my committee that I chair, the Environment and Climate Change Committee, we finally passed Te Tāriki e Tāwhiri, Auckland's climate plan, and that was passed unanimously by councillors, the mayor and IMSD members, which was pretty fantastic to see. We had the whole committee supporting the direction, which is halving our emissions by 2030 and also preparing for a potential 3.5 warming, so adapting our city for that, and obviously getting to zero emissions by 2050, and a lot of other things that will be launched physically. You'll be able to see the website launch in October. We're not printing out that plan. You can see all the details in our online on our agenda. We also have the next part of our Urban Ngāere plan enabled, which is around protecting our trees and increasing our tree coverage right across Auckland for our urban forest, our ngāere. And we also got good news that we haven't seen a decrease in tree cover in the last 5 years through our LIDAR data. We've actually seen about 60 hectares or 60 football fields worth of trees increased across Auckland, although we have seen a reduction in some of those taller trees on private property, unfortunately, since we have no protection of that under the RMA anymore.
Oscar continued his conversation with Hills, asking for a little more in-depth on what steps Te Tāriki e Tāwhiri, the Auckland Climate Action Framework, are taking towards a more climate-positive future for Tāmaki Makaurau and its people.
The first big step is demanding more of ourselves. So this plan is not Auckland Council's plan. It's Auckland's plan, but obviously our council only has control of certain parts. So our first thing is getting our own house in order. So we've got a plan to decarbonise our fleet completely with a rapid reduction in vehicles at first, and then changing out the diesel and combustion cars to electric. Then we are working with Auckland Transport and Vector to electrify our bus fleet, which I hope will be much faster than the current plan. We're having our gas boilers for our public pools. They'll be switched out for electric. And there's going to be a whole lot of other things that through the council's planning will decarbonise what, you know, the emissions we put out as a council. It will take some time for all parts of council to ramp up. And of course, you know, in my view, there are some contradictory things that the council has supported, such as, you know, larger roads and different things through government funding, in my opinion, but not the whole council's opinion, that maybe some of those big roading projects opening in 10 years, I believe, means we've got to drive much harder and the walking, cycling, and public transport realm. So we need some significant reduction in trips, like vehicle trips, and decarbonisation of the fleet across Auckland, which will require government support to do that. We don't hold those levers. So that's another part of the plan, is that we really ramp up our pressure on government and others to change the way they do things, because we cannot control any of the levers that would increase electric vehicle use or uptake in New Zealand. So we really require the government to put in some scheme, much like their Seabate scheme that was touted, we supported, but unfortunately hasn't got through, potentially due to New Zealand First, but we don't know the exact reasons. But yeah, so the next government, whoever they are, need to really ramp up electric vehicle uptake, and whether it's bringing them in or making it easier or more attractive, or actually give, you know, helping people scrap their current vehicles and switch out to electric, those sorts of things. And of course, working with businesses and community groups, mana whenua, right across Auckland through their ideas to basically reduce our emissions, but also plan for what climate change is going to bring to our city.
There are, of course, many frameworks at play in Tāmaki Makaurau when it comes to looking to the future and planning. Oscar took this chance to ask Councillor Richard Hills how Te Tāriki e Tāwhiri can fit alongside existing plans and often contradictory attitudes and futures.
I guess we've put a plan forward that shows the pathway. It's, you know, some would say, some are saying it's impossible, and maybe it is, but that's, I guess, the true representation of what it's going to take to get to zero emissions by 2050 and actually have real. I think a lot of people think, okay, someone else is responsible or we'll do it some other time. I mean, we've, as a country, signed up to the Paris Agreement. The government has now got a Zero Carbon Act. We need to play our part, but I am anxious that no one, not no one, but it doesn't feel like the actions are there yet. So I guess our plan shows how dramatic the pathway needs to be, especially to halve our emissions by 2030, because we're going to blow up our emissions budget pretty fast if we don't act. So we're hoping the government will act. We're hoping that there is a stronger priority for the next government, get some action dramatically on climate change. But we can't rely on just holding back and saying that just change a few things, add a few solar panels here and there, plant a few trees and think that that's what it's going to take. So the public is on side. I think the last polling done recently, I think it was an Ipsos poll, said 8 out of 10 people really think we need to prioritise action on climate change, 8 out of 10 Aucklanders. But the funny thing was only 7 out of 10 people thought that it was something other people were thinking about. So there's this weird separation that most people think it's important, but they think that no one else thinks it's important, when actually that's not true. So I guess we need to use those 8 out of 10 to realise that everyone is acting, and the government needs to act pretty quickly as well. It's good to see the government's moving on energy, so 100% renewables they want to work on. That's a big deal. But for Auckland, it's transport. So there are some good things coming out with public transport, with the government's national policy statement on urban development, removing the car parking minimums and also asking for more dramatic intensification, which hopefully over time will mean that people are more likely to build closer to transport corridors, closer to town centres, which will reduce trips and reduce the need for cars and increase the use of walking, cycling and public transport. So that's good signal from the government, and we'll work with them on that. But I also believe that we need to step up harder. You know, we've push for more walking and cycling, and it doesn't seem to appear. We're doing good in the public transport space, you know, almost doubling. I mean, I think we've doubled public transport use in the last 10 years, and that is because we've invested in it. So lots of people say they won't use public transport because it's unreliable, but then it shows that when you start investing in it, as we have the last 10 years, you get double the number of people using it, which is pretty great. But we need to triple the current numbers of people on public transport to really make a difference in the next 10 years, which will be a struggle. It's all money and changing people's behaviour. But I think it shows with things like COVID that people will and can work from home. People, you know, not everyone can, but we should be ensuring that businesses and, you know, we've taken the lead at Auckland Council and we're not requiring everyone to come in every day anymore. But that will be a struggle for some businesses potentially, and some people with, you know, households that maybe not set up for working from home. But I think we need to make sure that we are being more flexible and not just reverting back to normality pre-COVID, because I think that has shown that we can reduce our emissions, give people more time and money by staying at home if they can, if they're working in a sector that you can work from home.
With the mention of the survey noting the gap in people's awareness of the climate crisis as an issue and their perception of others' awareness and motivation on the issue, Oscar asked Councillor Hills whether he saw it as the council's responsibility to connect the public and let them know that people are wanting to work on Auckland's position in a climate crisis and that others do care.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the proof was what we saw when we consulted on the plan was we had the highest number of young people, Māori, Pacifica, and other people who don't usually connect with council that often, submitted and got involved in the plan than ever, which shows that there's a lot of interest from communities, maybe that we don't hear a lot from, on climate change and Auckland's response to it. So yeah, it is. It's not only us that has that job, but we should be facilitating more of the conversation. We should be, you know, showing people what we do and showing people how they can easily play a part in an individual basis, but also making sure that we keep climate change to the top of our priority list, which it is. We're already in discussion, and that's what some of it will be coming to my committee in September, will be our direction on the 10-year budget. So that's where we put the hundreds of actions that we're putting together for our climate lane, which is basically one part of the 10-year budget that will be dedicated to combating climate change and improving our environment. But I also want to see everything across the whole council family being put through that lens. So I may not win that discussion, but we have, you know, every single agenda and every single report now has to have a climate lens looked over it. So it may be that councillors ignore that, but it will say this will increase our emissions, reduce our emissions, that sort of thing. And if we are increasing in one area, we need to be dramatically reducing it in another. So that's not going to be as quick as all of us may want it, but I know that it's up to the public to keep us honest on that. But also, you know, myself and Pippa Coombe, who's the deputy chair of the committee, as you know, need to be pushing that to the front, that it's not just talk and that we're not just reverting to, after passing a climate plan unanimously, reverting back to the old ways of working. So it's up to all of us to keep the pressure on and actually see where the funding is going to come from and what, you know, everyone keeps talking about the funding, but I also want to talk about not doing those things. You know, there are some roading projects that I didn't get a say on that maybe we wouldn't have done. And to me, that's where the savings could have been made. We're going to dramatically increase emissions and spending in one area where we could have made a whole lot of difference in another. So I'm hopeful that we don't keep making those mistakes in the future.
Hills noted that active and more comprehensive public transport is something that Tāmaki Makaurau needs to combat the climate crisis. This is a call often heard as a solution to move forward with, but what can and should actually be done? 95BFM producer Oscar Perez decided to conclude his conversation with North Shore Ward and Environment and Climate Change Committee Chair Richard Hills by asking how council should get people using those modes of transport and how council can best provide more diverse, comprehensive transport options.
There's a few things we've done the last couple of years. Myself and Chris Darby led things like Kids Free Weekends to get young people used to using public transport and obviously getting around our city for free in the weekends. That's been successful. Last month we just integrated the ferry fares finally. So a couple of months ago, if you're going to bus to a ferry instead of drive to it, you'd have to pay for the bus, then pay for the ferry, then pay for the bus on the other side. Well, now you own, with your hop card, you only need to pay for your ferry fare. So if you're busing down to a ferry, jumping on and then getting a train or a ferry on the other side, you only need to pay for that ferry. You don't need to pay for the stage either side. So those kind of things make things easier for people. Just making things more frequent, so the new networks that were all implemented over the last 3 or 4 years have significantly increased the numbers of people using public transport because we made it easier, more frequent. You know, if people know a bus is going to turn up on time and be fairly regular, they will catch it. You know, the bus goes past my house every 10 minutes in the morning. I know if I miss it, I'm just a couple minutes away from another. But we need to really ramp that up. We've ordered, obviously, more trains. So we will be able to increase capacity even before the City Rail Link, but you won't see those massive gains until the City Rail Link opens. We're obviously working with government to get the Northwestern Busway, the Eastern Busway is being built. We still want to see light rail across the isthmus because we know that bus capacity is already nearing its limits in the city centre and along some of those corridors. So it's really just increasing the availability. I would love to see personally more from government around changing the structures, the fare structures, the fare box recovery and the PTOM, the public transport operating model, was set up under Stephen Joyce, and there's some issues there around the fact that every time we need to increase public transport access for people, we then have to increase public transport fares because of the percentage we're required to get from the passenger from their fares. So we obviously fund the remainder with government, but every time we want to increase the number of buses and the number of services, we then have to increase fares. And we know that over time, fares going up then reduce people's access to, or they think it's cheaper to drive. So I hate seeing fares go up, but at the moment, the structure that we are stuck in, that we've asked for a review, but unfortunately, Phil Twyford and NZTA Waka Kotahi have said that that won't be ready till after the election. So once again, we're waiting. We also had the promises from the coalition agreement that there'd be a community or a green card for community services, people with low incomes, to get cheaper public transport. So we've still been advocating for that through government, similar to the gold card for those over 65. I would have loved to have seen that as it was in the Green and Labour coalition agreement, but it just never eventuated. So if they are in government, we're pushing hard on that again. So there's, once again, it is complex, but, you know, it's pretty simple. If you make it easy, if you make public transport, walking and cycling safe, easy, reliable, and affordable, which is not easy to do all of those things because everything costs money, but if you do all those things, then you actually get the the climate benefits, but also the connections and the health benefits and everything else that comes with it. So I just hope that government can really see that it's more than just a cost. There's so many benefits that come from making sure we have all those things in place. But more importantly, that those things are going to transform the way Auckland's response to climate change is, that, you know, fewer people driving is always going to be a good thing.
That was 95BFM producer Oscar Perez talking to Councillor Richard Hills on all things Te Tāruki a Tawhiti.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.